Thank you for setting such a good example on keeping to time, and also for a tremendous overview of the subject. Our next speaker, ladies and gentlemen, is Dr. Mohamed Aikadi, and he's the President General Council of Agricultural Development. This council is a high-level policy think tank of the Ministry of Agriculture and Fisheries in Morocco. He was also a key player in the return in the reform of Morocco's water sector and the drafting of the new water law in 1995. So please welcome him to the podium.
Thank you, Chair. I would like to start by saying that we are all gratified by the fact that this McGill conference has, over the past 3 years, assiduously, I should say, contributed to elevate food and nutrition security as a global communal concern. I would like also to salute the spirit of this conference, which focuses on solution and possibilities, and not only on dramatic and doomsday scenarios. Let me get my presentation. As we are moving towards the end of the first decade of this 21st century, we find ourselves confronted by a multiplicity of challenges. Water security, food security, finance risks, climate change, energy, conflicts, increasing disparities between rich and the richest and the poorest countries, failing states, etc. These problems, in my view, have two common features. The first one is that they cannot be solved by a country acting in isolation. And the second is that these problems are interconnected. We have seen and discussed during the first conference here how during the 2007-2008 food crisis, how the uncoordinated government policies and decisions that were made at that time have reduced the efficiencies of the global food system and exacerbated the problems which had the hardest consequences on the poorest countries and people. The second feature is that the problems are interconnected. The problem of climate change is closely linked to water, to energy, and agriculture. These interconnections are often ignored when policymakers devise partial solutions to individual problems. We continue to operate in a very fragmented way with silo mentalities. We need to better understand how different issues are interconnected and change accordingly, as we heard yesterday. Global food security will depend on population dynamic, consumption pattern, physical planning, resource utilization and competition, economic growth, trade patterns, known and unknown emerging issues. Clearly, each individual issue is highly complex in itself. However, we will not solve the problems by addressing these issues one by one. Addressing one issue has implication on others. These linkages will require substantial changes in everything from how governments at all levels are organized to what kind of research is promoted, and then I'm saying this with, as we have yesterday witnessed with great pleasure the launching of the Global Food Security Institute, and to how also and the multilateral system is currently structured and how it addresses the challenges. We have heard Dr. Navarro about the number of UN agencies that are involved in the food security issues. So how can we encourage further interdisciplinary and communication? How can we promote a more balanced view on socioeconomic development and environmental sustainability? How can we ensure equity and a global trade regime that is fair to all countries? So that's why I wanted to focus my talk on these interactions by discussing with you the water agriculture trade nexus, and I will use my country's example, say a few words about climate change as a game changer, and deal with the implications for food security. I put here all the these interconnections as they are relevant to my country. Between water agriculture, our debate was structured about rain-fed irrigation, blue and green water productivity. On the water and trade, the issue of virtual water, as we are a net importer and we import almost one-third of our annual, the equivalent of our annual runoff. But trade is also impacting our water resources, mainly with the groundwater depletion, as most of our export crops are grown with the groundwater, and the time windows that we have to export have forced these export high-value crops to the southern part of Morocco with scarce water resources. Agriculture and trade, we have the issue of commercial and non-commercial agriculture, and especially with regard to smallholders' access to the value chain. The issue raised by the supermarket standards, and during the last 3 years, the issue of commodity prices and volatility. I'm going to discuss these interactions by using Pascal's precept, and I put it here in his word. In French, Pascal, which is a rigorous thinker of the 17th century, said that I cannot pretend to know the whole without knowing the parts, and it is impossible for me to know the parts without knowing the whole. So I'm not going to make any deep dive in each of the parts, but I will focus on the interaction. I would like you to notice that this transition that Morocco has been engaging in since the early 90s in terms of moving from self-sufficiency to food security through making the best use of the opportunities of the international trade with regard to our comparative advantages, but also with regard to our limited resource endowment, be them water or land. This transition is important because it is the result of other transition, and we've heard Bart speaking about the demography and the urbanization transition, the economic transition, because this cannot happen without a diversification of the economy that can absorb those rural population that exit from agriculture, social transition with regard to human development and poverty reduction, and we've heard about that this morning as a human right, institutions and governance, I will insist on that, technology, which we have discussed, and I will insist also at the end on a solidarity transition, because this requires a solidarity between rural, urban and rural, solidarity being between south and south, and north and south. This is very quickly the Morocco's demographic transition. It's an urbanizing country, but notice that contrary to what Bart has mentioned about Asia, we have a stable, in absolute terms, rural population for the next 30 or 40 years. The economic transition, as you can see, the GDP has more than doubled. Agriculture is now having a lower share in the global economy. The structure of the economy is changing, but it is still not enough to absorb the cohort of rural population migrating to cities. Let me say a few words about water. Morocco is a highly water-stressed country with erratic rainfall and frequent droughts. The country is reaching the end of the water development era, and water resources management is therefore shifting to the more difficult task of ensuring economically, socially, and environmentally efficient allocation within the existing water resource constraints. This shows you the uneven distribution of water among different water river basins, and you can notice in the lower chart that most of our basins experience serious deficit. In summary, Morocco's water issues and constraints are marked by the fact that water demand is growing fast, water availability is falling to crisis levels, overexploitation of groundwater, shortages are also compounded by pollution, and low water use efficiency in irrigation. For agriculture, because of the nature of our climate, irrigation has been given a great emphasis. You can see here the irrigation development. And Morocco did not hesitate in mobilizing state-of-the-art technology to make the best use of water. This is a view of a large-scale irrigation perimeter. This investment in irrigation has allowed important production increases of crops and livestock. The ag GDP has been multiplied by 2, and you can notice the fluctuation, which are mainly linked to a climate variability and drought, and the magnitude is 1 to 5 from 1 year to the other, and you can see the level of the challenge that we are facing. In terms of trade, our trade has been progressing, both in terms of import and export, and you can see that the trade deficit is becoming bigger and bigger. And I had the opportunity to present here during the food, the first conference, how hard we were hit by the 2007-2008 food crisis in terms of the increase of our import bill and in terms also of the increase of our food balance. How do we see the international trade? We think that the trading system is not yet neither truly global nor truly free, and Morocco, as many other countries, still have difficult access to markets of developed countries. And at present, developed countries provide trade-distorting subsidies to their farmers and impose tariff barriers that are escalating with the value of the product. So even when we want to shift to high-value crops, this is not usually easy. And we need a trading system that draws on the expertise of every nation and returns to every nation a more diverse and, above all, secure supply. All this combined in terms of policy mix, water policy, agricultural policy, food policy, has contributed to the improvement of food security and nutrition in terms of access to food. You can see here how the share of food has decreased in the household budget, and also how the disparity between rural and urban has decreased. It has improved in terms of the nutrition status, in terms of calorie intakes, and diversification of the diet. Climate change. You can notice here and that Morocco, which is in the northwest corner of Africa, will be the hardest country hit by climate change. And you can see that we are a hotspot in terms of decrease of water availability. And we have been very much engaged in downscaling the global climate models. And you can see here that we are experiencing more than 30% drop in the water availability. This discussion has structured our national debate around those questions that I'm mentioning. How much more irrigation does Morocco need to meet the future needs? how to structure consumption patterns from the present wasteful, low-value intensive uses? How can farmers achieve a higher livelihood from every drop of water, and so on? Does the import of food virtual water support food security and a more equitable and efficient allocation of water? We have structured our reforms both in agriculture and water around responding to these questions. And this is translated, and Bartz has mentioned that, in a comprehensive and holistic water management at the river basins, from the watershed down to the field, with very innovative, I don't have time to speak about that, because it has been mentioned by Eugene this morning, very innovative public-private partnerships at all levels, from the mountain areas to the field. I will not talk about what are the lessons learned from this, because in the more than 100 recommendations that came out of this conference, you have those, and we were busy implementing those part of those recommendations that were relevant to us. But as I was discussing yesterday at the cocktail with John, he told me, what is a single message that you want to us to take home? And I said, capacity, 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 developing capacities and institutions to make. We can import ideas and concepts, but we cannot import institutions. So we know we need to develop our analytical skills in order to really have a full ownership of our food security and nutrition destiny. Thank you.